The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let us turn one more time to Genesis chapter 17. Last time we considered the command to circumcise, given and obeyed. This morning, for our last baptism sermon from Genesis 17, we take as our text verses 17 and 18. Let's read the chapter. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child, in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Thus far, we read the divinely inspired, infallible, sacred scripture this morning. The text is verses 17 and 18. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, laughter is a universal human expression that transcends all natural distinction between nation, tribe, and tongue. All peoples of all lands laugh. Laughter is not the evolutionary development of the rhythmic panting of chimpanzees, as some say. We did not evolve from primates, but God the Father Almighty created us. He created Adam in the beginning with the capacity for laughter. God gave to us the capacity to laugh. And God said, "It is good." And it is a wonderful experience to see a little baby laughing for the first time at maybe 3 or 4 months of age. Laughter. The Bible never says that Jesus laughed on this earth. He, of course, had the capacity to laugh. If he had a real and complete human nature, as we believe he did, the Bible never tells us that Jesus laughed. Laughter is sometimes triggered by a sensation such as being tickled. Most commonly, laughter is triggered by some thought in our minds. We have some thought, and then our response is to laugh. Typically, however, laughter is viewed too narrowly as being only a response to humor. Laughter is more than a response to humor. The Bible identifies for us 3 different categories of laughter. There is divine laughter, unholy human laughter, and holy human laughter. There is, first of all, divine laughter, which is the laughter of God, the heathen rage against God. The kings and the rulers of the earth, they take counsel against the Most High God and his anointed. And Psalm 2, verse 4 declares, "He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh." And the Lord shall have them in derision. God's laughter is a vivid anthropomorphic description of God's absolute sovereignty over and holy intention to destroy all of his enemies with ease and in great fury, overturning all of their wicked counsels for the accomplishment of his counsel. He laughs. There is, according to the scriptures, in the second place, the unholy laughter of human beings. There are various expressions of unholy laughter. There is the laughter of mockery. A very common expression in scripture is, "He laughed them to scorn." They laughed him to scorn. Nehemiah 2, verse 17, Sanballat and Tobias and Gershom, they laughed the Jews to scorn when they saw these Jews trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There is the laughter of mockery. Or there is the laughter of doubt, whereby someone hears a word and they don't believe the word is true. It's not true at all. And so they laugh at that word in doubt, very closely related to the laughter of mockery. We'll say more about that in connection with Sarah through the course of the sermon. Or there is The laughter of wicked delight in the filthiness of sin. Ephesians 5 verse 4 refers to this as jesting. It is the laughter that finds humor in the foolishness and filthiness of sin. This would include the laughing tracks in the background of television programs. Delight in sin. We would have to include among unholy human laughter the so-called holy laughter of the charismatic revival meetings, in which people are not filled with the Holy Spirit through the pure preaching of the holy gospel of Jesus Christ, but influenced by the devil in connection with wicked man-centered teaching, according to which people in these huge revival meetings, hundreds and hundreds of people, they fall out of the pews and out of the seats and they start rolling in the aisles in hysterical fits of laughter. It's called holy laughter. It is unholy laughter. There's not only divine laughter and unholy human laughter, there is, according to the scripture, holy human laughter. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance for the people of God's covenant. Our life is not simply a life of weeping and sorrowing over our sins and in all of our tribulations. There's more to laugh, more to life than weeping. There's laughter and dancing. That belongs to God's covenant. It is the making merry in our friendships and fellowship one with another, and especially in our friendship with God in the covenant. There's a time to laugh. Speaking of present tribulation and persecution, Jesus says in Luke 6 verse 21, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." And he says in verse 25, speaking of present worldly wealth and success, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." We know Psalm 126 very well, verses 1 through 3. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." There is in God's covenant holy human laughter. Abraham laughed. And that's the subject of the sermon this morning. Abraham laughed. At the time of the history of Genesis 17, Abraham was the 99-year-old friend of God, to whom God had given a covenant promise that he would have a son of the covenant, through whom all of the promises of God would be continued. However, at the time this promise came, Abraham had this 13-year-old son, Ishmael, who was born to him of his wife, Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. But as yet, he and his wife, Sarah, they had no son. They had no child. So God comes with the promise. 15 and 16 of the chapter we read, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. This laughter of the text belongs to the biblical category of holy human laughter. Abraham's laughter was his deeply emotional response. It wasn't merely emotional, but it was emotional, his deeply emotional response to God's wonderful covenant promise, in which there arose out of his believing soul of wonderment and out through his mouth the sound of laughter. Whatever that laughter may have sounded like to those around Abraham, whatever it might sound like to us, to our ears this morning, that laughter was the laughter of Abraham in God's covenant, and it was holy laughter. as we will explain this morning. What sound came forth? The sacred scriptures say was laughter. And it was beautiful laughter that delighted God Almighty in heaven. Let's consider it this morning. Abraham's laughter. First of all, laugh of faith. In the second place, a laugh of wonderment. And third, a laugh of ages. Abraham heard the promise of the covenant, which came from God, and Abraham's believing response to that promise was to laugh. Verse 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Abraham's laughter was not the laughter of doubt. It was not the laughter of unbelief. Sometimes we read through Genesis 17 and we simply assume that Abraham was laughing in unbelief. That's not true. Sometimes we assume that, though, because in the first place, we conceive of laughter too narrowly. And therefore, we don't think that laughter would be an appropriate response to a covenant promise of God. Prayer? Sure. A song of joy? Sure. A joyful exclamation? We would be happy with all of those responses. But laughter? Upon a first reading, we say, laughter? He laughed at God's promise? It has to be unbelief and doubt. That's because we conceive of laughter too narrowly. Secondly, sometimes we assume that Abraham was laughing in unbelief because we know 13 years before this history, he was temporarily living in unbelief when he sought the fulfillment of God's covenant promise, not by patiently waiting upon God, but by taking his wife's handmaid Hagar and going in unto her for the conception of a son. He was in the past temporarily living in unbelief, and so sometimes we assume he's still living in unbelief. Thirdly, we know his wife Sarah received the very same promise, and she laughed in unbelief. Therefore, sometimes we assume Abraham must have been laughing in unbelief. As you know, those three angels who appeared as men, they came to Abraham. They were conversing outside of the tent. Sarah was inside the tent. And she heard these words, Genesis 18, verse 10. Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. God reprimanded Sarah. And Sarah denied that she laughed because she knew her laughter was wicked. She laughed in doubt and unbelief. We know that. Sarah responded to the promise by laughing in unbelief. And sometimes we assume Abraham's laughter was also, therefore, the laughter of unbelief. Fourthly, sometimes it is supposed that Abraham laughed in unbelief because of his exclamation in verse 18. The second verse of the text. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Sometimes that verse is interpreted as meaning, Sarah will not have a son. I don't believe that. It's impossible for her to have a son. So, oh God, might Ishmael live before thee as the covenant son. That's the only way. Sometimes it is assumed that Abraham laughed in unbelief. That's not true. Abraham did not laugh in unbelief. Abraham's laughter was the laughter of faith. Abraham believed. There are at least five proofs for this proposition. Abraham's laughter was the laughter of faith. First, the proof is in the New Testament and its commentary on this history, Romans 4, 19 through 22. Romans 4, 19 through 22, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. That's the history of Genesis 17, which begins in verse 1. Abraham was now 90 years old and 9, just about 100. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, that's the issue of the text, Sarah's womb is dead. He didn't consider himself or Sarah's dead womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. When did he give glory to God? When he laughed. But giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. The inspired apostle Paul settles once and for all whether or not the laughter of Abraham was the laughter of faith or the laughter of unbelief. In fact, the apostle Paul declares by inspiration that Abraham not only had faith when he laughed, he had strong faith. And that Abraham was not only persuaded of the promise of God, he was fully persuaded. In fact, Abraham's faith was so strong that he laughed. The laughter is not an evidence of his unbelief. The laughter is the proof of the strength of his faith. So strong was his faith in God's promise that he laughed. The proof is in the New Testament. Secondly, the proof is in his posture. Verse 17, and Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. In the sacred scripture, when a man falls down on his face before God, he's not then rolling on the ground in hysterical fits of laughter, and nor is the man falling on his face to reveal his proud unbelief. When a man in Scripture falls down on his face before God, he is overwhelmed with a sense of God's majesty. He is in awe. Sarah didn't fall on her face and laugh. Abraham is in awe of God and of God's promises, so he falls on his face before God and laughs. The proof is in his posture. It is a laugh of faith. Thirdly, the proof is in Abraham's petition. Verse 18, and Abraham said unto God, O, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham believes that Sarah will have a son. And Sarah will have the covenant son through whom the covenant promises of God will be fulfilled and through whom the Messiah will come and through whom Abraham will be a father of many nations and a father of kings and a possessor of the promised land of Canaan through Sarah's son. He believes that. There's no doubt about that. But the implication is this 13-year-old boy, Ishmael, he is not the covenant son. All these promises will not be fulfilled through Ishmael. That's the implication. Abraham understands it well. But though that be true, Lord, though that be true, may he yet nevertheless live before thee. To live before God, verse 18, is to have covenant communion with God. It is to have salvation. Abraham is praying for the salvation of Ishmael. Abraham knows Ishmael will not be the covenant son, but he's praying that he will be a covenant son. He is praying that the fulfillment of the covenant promise through Isaac will not be the excluding of Ishmael from the covenant altogether. He's praying that Ishmael might be saved. This is a very instructive prayer for us at baptism. It is the prayer of a believing father who loves his children, who loves all of his children, who loves every single one of his children head for head. He prays for the salvation of all of them. Yes, he understands the line of election runs through his family and through the baptismal font. Yes, he understands that sometimes the line of reprobation runs through his own family. And through that baptismal font in the church, he understands that. But even if he has a child who grows up and manifests unbelief, the believing father The parents who love that child, they do not identify that child as reprobate. They do not write that child off and say, unsavable. He prays. He prays. He prays. She prays. Father and mother pray. God never said Ishmael was reprobate. Maybe he was. God never said it. The covenant promise will be fulfilled through Isaac, the one who will be born to Sarah. But let that not be, O God, the excluding of Ishmael altogether from the covenant. He will not be the covenant son. Let him be a covenant son. That he prays for the salvation of Ishmael in verse 18 is the clear proof. Abraham believes Sarah will have a son. He laughs in faith. The proof is in the New Testament. The proof is in the posture. The proof is in the petition. The proof that Abraham laughed in faith is in the obedience. If Abraham were laughing at God's promise in unbelief, he never would have obeyed God's command as he did. As soon as God left off talking with Abraham, Abraham took a sharp stone and he began circumcising the flesh of his 13-year-old son, all of his male servants there in the house, and Abraham himself submitted to the circumcising of the foreskin of his 99-year-old flesh, as we heard last time. Believers who are temporarily living in unbelief, that happens sometimes, believers who are temporarily living in unbelief, perhaps even mocking the covenant promises of God, they don't obey. They don't obey. They don't obey God's commands, and they certainly don't obey God's, what we might consider rather extreme commands to cut off their own foreskin. Faith obeys God's commands. Faith obeys the command to circumcise. Faith obeys the command to baptize these children. Faith obeys the command to distinguish them from the children of unbelievers and to rear them in the fear of God's name, though that might mean great cost and sacrifice for the parents. Faith obeys. Abraham obeyed, and his costly obedience was the revelation of his faith. He believed. He laughed in faith. And finally, the proof is in the name, in the New Testament, in the posture, in the petition, in the obedience, and finally, in the name. Verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Isaac means he laughs. This name wasn't revealed in connection with the promise as it came to Sarah. This name was revealed in connection with the promise as it came to Abraham. He laughs. He laughs. And would this outstanding covenantal name here and all throughout the history of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, would this outstanding covenantal name be given if it were a name revealing something shameful and disgraceful, unbelief? He laughs in unbelief. Isaac is not a disgraceful name. Isaac is a glorious covenant name. Isaac means he laughs. He laughs. He laughs in faith. That is, out of the depths of his believing soul of wonderment and out through his mouth comes this deeply emotional response of the joyful sound of laughter. He laughed. He believed that he and Sarah would have a child. That was the promise of God to him. He believed it. And in faith, he laughed. He laughed because his believing heart was filled with wonderment. The promise struck Abraham's believing soul as being so unspeakably wonderful that he could not but laugh. All he could do to this promise was fall on his face and laugh. He laughed in wonderment. What God promised to do was a wonder. What God promised to do was a miracle. What God promised to do would be a display of divine omnipotence. What God promised would happen was something that neither the creation nor man would ever produce. It was humanly impossible. It was impossible that a 100-year-old man, very nearly, and that a 90-year-old woman would be able to bring forth a child. 90 is old. 90 wasn't so old before the flood. This is the history that comes right after the flood. After the flood, 90 is old. Genesis 18 verse 11 says so. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. They're old. There's not many things that couples in their 90s do or can do. When we reach our 90s, few of us will. Because 90 is very old. Few of us will ever see 90. When we reach our 90s, if we should, there are very few things we can and we want to do. 90 is old. Thinking about having a baby and then having a baby is not one of the things we do if we should reach 90. Genesis 18 verse 11 says that it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. What's the manner of women? Ordinarily, the manner of women is to get pregnant and have a child. Ordinarily, that's the manner of women, to get pregnant and have a child. Concerning Sarah, that stopped. That ceased. It wasn't possible for her to become pregnant. The language of Romans 4 verse 19 is even stronger when it talks about her womb being dead. Death does not beget life. Dead wombs do not bring forth children. Abraham knew all of this. He was old. Sarah was old. Her womb was dead. And yet, we will have a son? It was not only a wonder of God's divine omnipotence, it was a wonder of grace that they would have a son. Neither Abraham, who went in unto Hagar, or Sarah the wife, who's the one who hatched this plan, that her husband go in unto the handmaid, neither of them were worthy of the least of God's blessings. It was a wonder of grace, according to which God viewed Abraham and Sarah eternally as they are in Christ. That he would use his omnipotence to give to this old couple, a child, it was a wonder of grace. They did not deserve anything. And this child who comes will continue the line of the covenant that extends all the way to the Messiah. The fulfillment of this promise is absolutely necessary for the realization of God's everlasting covenant all throughout history. Therefore, this promise is a wonder of grace to all of us. That Abraham and Sarah would have a covenant son, a wonder of grace. And Abraham, he understood that. Having heard that promise, his believing soul was filled with wonderment. He was filled with awe, and all he could do was fall on his face and laugh. Verse 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Those are not the questions of doubt and unbelief. Those are the questions of wonderment. How can it be, O God? I believe it. I believe it. Look at me. I'm 100 years old. Look at her. Her womb is dead. She's 90 years old. I believe it. We will have a son. How can it be? It is a wonder. But Abraham was not only struck by the wonder of the fact that he and Sarah would have a child, but the significance of this child. He understood that. That was part of the cause of his laughter. Not only will we have a son, but through this son, I will be a father of many nations. There's no way he could fully understand what that would mean. There's no way he could see what we have today. Nations. that all of the believing elect in all of the nations of the earth are the nations, whether in America or Canada or in the Philippines or Myanmar or Singapore or wherever throughout all the world, wherever there are the believing elect, they are the nations of the world, the universal church in Jesus Christ, the nations of the world. And we all come from Abraham, who is the father of all those who have faith. There's no way he could possibly see all of this, but he understood something. Through this son, I will be a father of nations. And through this son, I will be a father, as God said to me, his word is true, I will be a father of kings. There's no way he could understand who David would be and who Solomon would be in all of his glory, but he understood something. And now in the new dispensation, we're all kings. We all occupy the office of all believer. We rule by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one day we will all go to glory to be with Christ, and we will reign as kings with Christ in heaven forever and ever and ever. Abraham, through this son, you will be the father of kings. And through this son, he will be one who takes possession of the promised land of Canaan. And Abraham understood that it was not merely the physical land that God promised and gave to him, but Hebrews chapter 11, he understood it. That there is this city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, the heavenly Canaan, mine. And it will come through this son. And through this son, the Messiah himself will come, the seed. He understood that. Not fully, but he understood it. That was part of his awe. Jesus says in John 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. When God gave this promise, Abraham saw Christ's day. He saw it. In this son, the seed will come. I see the Christ. I see the seed of the covenant. He saw the day of Christ afar off, and seeing that day, he rejoiced and was glad. This will be the day of the Messiah who will come to save me and save Sarah from our sins. He said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear a child through whom I will be a father of many nations and a father of kings and a possessor of the heavenly Canaan, and through whom the Messiah, the Christ himself, will come? We're as good as dead. We're terribly wicked sinners. How can all of this be? I believe it, O God, but it's too wonderful for me. Oh, the wonder of it all. Abraham heard the words of the certain promise of God, and by faith he embraced those words in his believing soul. And that created this energy and this emotion within him as this wonderment deep in his believing soul began furiously to bubble within him, and it looked for a way of escape. It looked for an outlet, and it could find no other way than to come out of Abraham through his mouth as laughter. Whatever that might sound like to you and to me, he laughed. He was overjoyed. He was overwhelmed with gratitude and awe. And at that moment, Abraham fell down on his face before God and laughed. There was not in heaven above or earth beneath a sound more pleasing to God than this believing, joyful, deep, laughter of wonderment that came out of Abraham on the earth. He laughed in wonderment. The Holy Spirit touched a covenant man. He was touched by God's grace. He experienced it. He felt it. He acknowledged it. He believed it. He was touched by the Spirit with that promise of God. And his response was to fall down on his face in faith before God and to laugh with God-pleasing laughter. Overjoyed. It was a laugh of faith. It was a laugh of wonderment. And it is a laugh of ages. That is, a laugh to be remembered and a laugh that is carried throughout all the ages. For they must name him Isaac. God says, call him Isaac. And every time they will say, Isaac. And all throughout the history, Israel will say the fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Every time someone says Isaac, they say, he laughs. He laughs. That name memorializes Abraham's believing laughter of wonderment. Isaac, he laughs. And then consider the words of the new mother, Sarah. She was an old mother, but a brand new mother. And she has this little baby named Isaac now in her hands. Genesis 21, 5 through 7. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Abraham laughed in faith and wonderment. Now Sarah holds the little baby Isaac in her hands, and she laughs in believing wonderment. And she says, you laugh with me. God made me to laugh in faith and wonderment so that you might laugh with me. Laugh with me. Isaac, he laughs. That through the ages there might be the laughter of believing wonderment. We laugh. There's a time to weep, but there's also a time to laugh. And sometimes our view of laughter is way too narrow. And we only think of laughter as something children do when they're tickled, or something that we do when we hear something humorous. But laughter is more than that. It's different here. It's deeper. It's an emotional response. All the emotions are involved, but it's not merely emotional. It's the response to God's promise that arises out of the believing soul and through the mouth as a joyful sound. Laughter. And it's not restricted to a particular sound. Laughter. It's simply the sound of one who's overwhelmed with joy and gratitude hearing the promise of God. For example, you think of the old saint. Abraham was old. Sarah was old. You think of the old saint who's sitting in his chair, and you come to read the Bible, and he's listening. And maybe you even make an application of the passage. And as you're reading the Bible, that old saint is sitting there in his chair, and some particular promise of God's word strikes him in his heart. And he tilts his face toward the ground, and tears begin to stream out of the corners of his eyes. And he's incapable of speaking, but with that believing soul of wonderment, he laughs. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh, ho, 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 ho. I've heard that. I've heard it. He laughs. That was Abraham's laughter. Now, it may come differently out of you than it does an old saint, but there's laughter in God's covenant, and that's the joyful response to God's covenant promise. The Almighty God, this great God, He's my friend in the covenant. Look who I am. Oh, the wonder of it all. How can it be? And this great God, He gives to us conception and birth. He gives to us a little baby. And God makes His covenant promise to us and our children to save us and our children. Oh, how can it be? The wonderful promise of God. And look at us. We're so sinful. We don't deserve anything. We don't keep God's covenant. Yet God keeps His covenant if it requires the sacrificing of His only begotten Son upon the altar to take away our sins and the sin of our children. He will do it. He's so faithful to His covenant. How can it be? And that when we die, we will go to the heavenly Canaan, which is above, and we will live and reign as kings with Christ forever. Who planned this? Who can devise something so wonderful? Who can accomplish this with all of His power and glory? Who is a God so great as our God in the covenant with all of His promises that are yea and amen forevermore in Jesus Christ? How can it be? And one hears the promise of God and he laughs. Oh, how can it be? All through the ages, the people of the covenant laugh. And when all the ages are completed, the whole church will be lifted out of this world of bondage and delivered into the heavenly Canaan. And then the words of Psalm 126 will be fully realized. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And so we laugh in wonderment. And into all the ages of eternity we will laugh, we who weep now. Jesus said it, you weep now. Persecution and tribulation. And there comes from us that deep groaning because years ago, it happens once in a while, that years ago a little baby was brought up here to be baptized. And that little baby grows up in the church. And that little baby becomes a young man or a young woman and doesn't love Jesus. Then our hearts break and we groan and we weep and a man sobs before God and he prays for the salvation of that child, son or daughter. Now we weep. Jesus said, now you weep. Not all weeping, but now we weep. You will laugh. Into all eternity, you will laugh when you see all of God's promises fully realized in the glory of heaven. You and I will laugh. In the beginning, on day six, God made Adam with a capacity for laughter. And God said it is good because God had in view eternity when all His elect people created with that capacity of laughter, which has been redeemed in Jesus Christ, we will enter into the heavenly Canaan and laugh with holy laughter sanctified through the Lord Jesus Christ to the praise of the God of the covenant forever. So God says, you call him Isaac. He laughs. Abraham laughed in faith and wonderment. And soon Sarah laughed with him. And they say, laugh with us. We laugh. That's the expression of our awe and gratitude and joy for the covenant promise of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are so sorry for our sins, like Abraham and Sarah. So often we do doubt and not believe. We're so often our own sinfulness leads us to do or say things as parents that we should never do or say. But Lord, an awareness of our own sinfulness and our sins that rise up against us, prevailing day by day, all it does by thy grace is to magnify thy covenant and the covenant promises. And we fall down on our faces, as it were, and we laugh in joy. How can it be that we sinners have received a salvation so great, we and our children, to the Lord Jesus Christ? Wipe away these tears from our eyes, O Lord, and cause us to laugh with that holy laughter of the covenant. To the praise of thy name, to the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the seed of the covenant. In his name do we pray. Amen.